Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that your love has shown its way to us in an hour where it is mad out there, but yet, Father, the relaxation that comes from your presence, O God, and the joy that comes from your presence is just unspeakable and full of glory. So, Father, we just continue to pray and ask you, Lord, to help us to keep our hopes alive, O God, by your word, knowing that you who gave the word are here to confirm it. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to the confirmation of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, we're going to be continuing from Satan's Eden. And I'd like to call this message this morning the third pole. What is it? When and where will it be? And this morning, we're going to begin our message by looking at the last time William Branham spoke on a sermon concerning the third pole. We hear him in this sermon, What is the Attraction on the Mountain, which he preached in 1965. He said, I went up into the canyon, climbed plumb up where the eagles were flying around. I was watching some deer standing there, and I knelt down to pray and raised up my hands, and a sword struck my hand. I looked around and I thought, well, what is that? I'm not beside myself. Here's that sword in my hand, bright, shiny, glistening in the sun. And I said, now, there's not people in miles of me up here in this canyon. Where could that come from? And I heard a voice that said, that's the king's sword. And I said, a king's sword? A man with a sword? The voice came back and said, not a king's sword, but the king's sword, the word of the Lord. It said, fear not, it's only the third pole. It's the vindication of your ministry. Now notice God said, not a king's sword, but the king's sword. And there is only one the king, and that is the eternal, immortal king, which is God himself. Now we find in the word of God in 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King eternal and immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And this immortal King is also the King of kings, and he's the King of glory. 1 Timothy 6:15 tells us, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And in Revelation 19:1-11 we read, and I saw heaven opened up, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but him, he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in the heavens followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings has a sword that goeth out of his mouth, and that sword is the word of the Lord, and that God placed in his hand, in the hand of William Branham, and said, this is the third pole. And God pointed out to him that this sword, or third pole, is the word of God. Now, King David knew who this King of Glory was. In fact, in the 24th Psalm, David speaks of the King of Glory four times. Verse 7, lift up your hands, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. So who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads and ye gates, lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. And who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory, Selah. We also see in Scripture that God refers his word to a two-edged sword because it cuts coming and it cuts going. From Hebrews 4:12 we read, for the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Then we find in Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, from his sermon influence, Brother Branham tells us, what was he? He was the Word. St. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. It said the Word of God is quicker and more powerful than a two-edged sword, cutting, and it don't baby and pat. It cuts coming, it cuts going. See? Cutting to the marrow of the bone, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Word, and the Word made flesh. And here it was. What did He do? He looked upon them and could perceive their thoughts because He was the Word and the unchangeable Word, and He's still the same. He doesn't change. Now notice, He is the unchangeable Word. He looked right into the woman's face. Now, so the unchangeable Word, the sword of the king, was placed in the hand of William Branham, not you and not me. It was placed in the hand of William Branham, and God told him that that was the third pole. Now, Brother Branham happened to be with Brother Vail in some store when they saw a sword that looked just like the one that God had placed in his hand. And Brother Branham pointed it out to Brother Vail, and so Brother Vail bought it. And I happen to have that sword right here. So I'm going to show you, and Brother Josh, if you could kind of zoom in for the people that are watching. But this is that sword. It looks just like the sword which fell into the hand of Brother Branham. Notice it has a cross in the front. See if you can zoom into there. See that? It might be too hard to do that. Okay, all right. Anyway, this is the sword which Brother Van told him it looked very similar to the one that fell in his hand. And remember, Brother Van said it wasn't a vision. It actually was in his hand. All right? And the angel said, "This is the third pole." Amen. Therefore, if we are to understand the third pole, then number one, we must understand that it is the Word. Because that sword, he said, that's the Word of God. All right? So the Word of God placed in the prophet's hands, it is not just something to do with the Word of God. It is the Word of God. The third pole is the Word of God, and we see the manifestation of it, that it is a living Word that is very much alive and active and is always made manifest in a living situation. Now, from his sermon, Anointed Ones at the End Time, Brother Branham said, notice that every day when this messenger, not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message. See, the first pole is healing. Second pole, prophesying. Third pole, the opening of the Word. The mysteries reveal. There's no more higher order to reveal the Word than prophets. But the only way the prophet can be vindicated is by the Word. Now, that's very important that we understand that because many don't believe that. They think that the pillar of fire over William Branham's head, or the cloud coming down, or the rainbows that appeared, they think that was what vindicated Brother Branham. Or they think the horizontal rainbow, or they think the pillar of fire, or they think, you know, that came down on the Ohio River. Or they even think that the sign of Messiah, that was the vindication of William Branham. But William Branham said this. He said, it was vindicated by the Word. That's it. The Word for the hour. All right?
Amen.
The only way a prophet can be vindicated is by the Word. Therefore, we must stay true to the Word of God and that only. You say, no. A prophet has a sign and wonders, and you're wrong if you say that. Jesus said of John the Baptist that he was more than a prophet. In Matthew 11, and verse 7, he says, and as he departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, "What went you out to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in kings' houses. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, and I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in law and the law prophesied until John. And if he receive it, this is Elijah, which was to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That means let him understand. Now notice, Jesus calling John, you know, a more than a prophet. And yet John didn't have one miracle. Not one. Didn't have one sign. Not one. But he had the Word. And he introduced the Word to the people. Now, I'm getting back to the anointed ones at the end time. Brother Bram continues, and remember, the third pole was the opening of them seven seals to reveal the hidden truths that's been sealed in the Word. Now, you say, well, why are you reading these quotes? What we're doing this morning, we're going to look at the third pole, what it is, when it's to come, and where it's going to be at. Now, the problem is, I've never preached on the third pole as a sermon. I've looked at people that want to preach on it, and they preach, but it's never been the time for it. It's the time now. And you're going to see by today's sermon that this is the time that we have an understanding of the third pole. Remember, Brother Bram, the angel said, don't speak anything about it. All right. So Brother Bram was very careful. He was careful enough to give us the illustrations of how it was used, and showing that the sword was the third pole and these things, that's what God told him. But he didn't want it to be out there so people would try to impersonate it. You see, we have a problem in this message. People want to be, they want to have the third pole, and they want to speak things into existence, and they want all this. It's not going to happen, brother, sister. The third pole was his third pole. You and I don't even have a first pole or second pole, much less a third pole. It's his third pole, but it's for us. See? So Brother Brown continues, and remember, the third pole was the opening of their seals to reveal the hidden truths that's been sealed in the Word. Now, a lot of these things, you know, people just pass over and they don't understand what he's saying. Just listen to what he's saying. The third pole was the opening of the seals. Remember, the scroll had to be opened. All right? To reveal or manifest the hidden truths that's been sealed in the Word. Do you see it? It is then in that day when this thing is to take place that Jannes and Jambres, the impersonators, will appear again, just like they did when Moses appeared with the original word to say it. They appeared to impersonate it. Just exactly, now you see what Matthew 24:24 is. See, anointed ones. Now, notice the word is a sword, right? A very sharp, two-edged sword. And it was to open the word, which had to be sealed, thus revealing, once it was unsealed, it revealed what was inside the word, which were the mysteries inside the scroll. So God used a very sharp two-edged sword to open his word to us to see inside. And that opening or revealing of the word and the seals, which were hidden in the word, is called the third pole. Now, keep that in your mind. He said the third pole was the opening of them seals, those seven seals, to reveal the hidden truth that's been sealed in the Word. He called it the opening of the Word and the revealing of the mysteries. And it shows how it is in the Word of God that it is alive and active in a living situation. And the word revelation means a manifestation of divine truth. So it reveals what is inside the Word by using a sharp two-edged sword to reveal. Now, like when you open an envelope, all right. Usually when I pick up my mail, I don't have my little mail opener with me. It's a little two-edged sword. And when I use this, I get a very nice open. Very clean, you can't see. There's no tears in it. However, when I use my finger, it looks ragged and everything else. All right. So God uses a two-edged sword to open up the Word. You understand? So it's very clean and clear, because if I open up an envelope with my thumb or tear the end and try to pull it, I've got ragged edges, and if there's writing on it, you might have, the writing might be on this side of the envelope or this side of the envelope, you know what I mean? And so it's all broken up. So it's not clear. God using a two-edged sword to open his word. It's so crystal clear, it's razor sharp. Okay, I just wanted to use this so that in your mind you can get a little picture in your mind why it had to be a two-edged sword. All right. Now, the next quotation we hear Brother Branham being asked if the third pole would be used to change our bodies, and I want you to listen very carefully to his answer. From his questions and answers, Brother Branham is asked, this, the third pole, and is speaking the word, it seems entirely possible for you to speak the word and one would be completely and fully restored, placed entirely ready for the rapture in the resurrection, the Son of Man. This is so, or is it not? And you would do this if properly pressed upon. Now, I kind of know where the person was coming from, because a lot of people try to press on Brother Branham. I need a vision. I need this. I need that. So they want to press it. They think that maybe they can get a body change by pressing on the prophet, you know. And would you not escape all these things? It's got a ditto there. Escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21:36. Now that was not Brother Branham's thoughts there, but just a question someone asked him. Brother Branham was just reading a person's question, but listen carefully to how he answers that question, because the answer tells us exactly what it is. Now, my dear friend, see, now, I think here that you got a good statement. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, that would be so. You said, Brother Brown, in other words, well, here's what I'm, I don't think that it, that I can believe, I, not to polish it up, what you said, but I believe I can make it a little clearer to the people. You see? In other words, I'm not using my thumb to open this. I'm going to use a sharp two-edged sword. All right? All of you here have witnessed the squirrels and all these other things that's been done. But did you notice that was sovereignly given? I never asked him, Lord, let me do this, speak these things in like that, do these things there. I never asked him that. He, by his own divine will, came to me and said, you go and do this. See, I wasn't asking one thing about it. Moses never asked to go down to Egypt, but God that sent him down to Egypt. See? So before we go one more second with talking about the third pole, I want you to get it out of your head that at the time of the squeeze, the bride will have the third pole and she will do this or do that. She can only do what God wills and what God does, and then we step into what He's showing us is His will and what He's doing. Philippians 2:13. For it is God working in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. It's not your good pleasure. It's His good pleasure. So just get out of your mind any thought of how that you're going to have a power of the spoken word to do whatever you want to happen. God has never worked that way, and He never will, for He changes not. Next, we see the time when the third pole was used to bring Sister Hattie Wright's boys to repentance and give them eternal life. Now, what we're doing is this first part, we're talking about what is it, okay? Give me an example of it, all right? And so we've talked about what Brother Branham said it was. Now he's going to give us examples of how it's used. All right? So from the unveiling of God, he says, look at that Syrophoenician woman. Run to him and said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He never as much as raised his head. She had no claims on him as son of David. She was a Gentile. No more than my daughter has claims on me as husband or my wife as daughter. Yet she is my daughter and my wife or my wife. She's my daughter in the gospel. But earthly, she had no rights to call me a father. See? Now, notice this Gentile woman had no claims on him as son of David. But blind Bartimaeus did, see? He was a Jew. Now, he came as a son of man, and you know, you have to know these words and these things. And the reason I highlighted that is because it's very important. He says, you have to know these words and these things. Look at Hattie Wright. Look at Hattie Wright that time when this third pole, you remember it, of all the everything that woman said the right thing. You've got to say that right word, the right thing to God. All right? Now, the illustration here with Sister Hattie Wright is that he was talking about a few instances in the Scripture when the right words were spoken to Jesus, which created the right atmosphere for him to speak the word of life to a person who had created that right atmosphere by their spoken words. So, they're speaking the right word created the atmosphere for the third pole to work. And I believe that is what Brother Branham is talking about when he speaks of the squeeze and the third pole. Now, from his sermon, look away to Jesus, Brother Branham said. So now I'm going to say something to you now, and I haven't said all along, that that is the thing that we have looked forward to for so long, or at least many years, 4 or 5 years or maybe longer, the third pole has now been vindicated, and I'm sure that you all know what it is. Now remember, there'll never be any impersonation of that, because it can't be. It cannot be. Now, it's in existence, and I am warned of this that soon, right after this time, it's just happened, so it could identify its presence among you, see? But it will not be in a great way until this council of church begins to tighten up. Now what's happening with these quotes? What do you see? You're seeing the when. We've already looked at the what it is.
Now we're looking at when it will be. There are some indicators that he gives us until this council begins to tighten up.
And when it does, when that does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything could be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you've seen, have seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. So it does not say anything about the third pole being in the bride or even used by the bride. And I do not know who started that idea, but it just says when the time comes and the time will be identified by the council tightening and the squeeze coming down. Two things. The council squeezing, tightening down, and the squeeze. We know squeeze is an economic term. We're already in that. So we're looking for the council. That's the other thing he's talking about here. Now, he's got some other identifiers. We'll get you. Now, get it out of your head that the bride will have anything at the third pole, because he does not ever say that. He's talking about the third pole of his ministry. That is what the angel told him. But it will be for the bride. From souls in prison now. In the days of Sodom, the first pole was to righteous Lot. And the Bible said, the sins of Sodom vexed his righteous soul daily. How then women acted and done, you remember, as it was in the days of Noah. Now, what was they doing? Eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Women, see, women. That was the days of Sodom, women. And the first message was Lot. They laughed him to scorn. Then he sent another messenger, two of them, and they went down, and that was his second pole for Lot, for Sodom. But look at that one that went last, just one, and more mercy, it was all over then, all over at that time. So, what is he saying? All right, he's giving us now, he's building the scene, the third pole, when mercy is all over. You're not going to see it until then. What was he? What kind of a ministry did he have? He sat with the elected and told them what was taking place behind him. Is that right? But when he stepped off into Sodom, he wanted to find, even Abraham cried, if I could find 50 righteous, on down to 10 righteous, God said, yes, find 10 righteous. So here he tells us the third pole in Abraham's day was when mercy was all over, all but over. It came at a time when God was ready to burn the Sodomites, but that third pole to Lot for the righteous but brought destruction to the Sodomites. Therefore, look at the characteristic of the timing. And look what it did. It saved the righteous Lot, his household. It destroyed all the wicked. Now, also in the Sermon Souls in Prison, Brother Bram says, you said, oh, if we would have lived back in the time of Paul, yeah, I'd have took sides with Paul. You hypocrites. Why don't you take sides with his doctrine? Oh, I take sides with William Branham, but you don't take sides with his doctrine. That's what he's saying. What was Paul's doctrine? One Lord, not two. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And he preached the parousia of Christ. He preached it. And yet today, they deny what he preached and call it false doctrine. It's the same thing Brother Branham is talking about. He says, you'd have done the same thing then that you've done now for your... For you're the children of your fathers, your organization, fathers, Pharisees, Sadducees, and self-righteous. That's it. And I tell you that in that hour that we live, I wonder if this could be the third pole. Just a minute now. Jesus said, this kind receives a greater damnation. See? I think it's interesting because they receive a greater damnation, but we're going to see where Brother Brown ties the third pole to the greater works of John 14:12. Greater works, greater damnation. Okay. So again, he tells us when the third pole will go into effect, when mercy is all but over. Now, from souls in prison now, Brother Brown says, the first three is perfection. That's when the ministry went forth. The second pole was a discernment of spirits, a prophecy. First was the healing of the sick. The second was the prophecy that went forth, that knowed the secrets of the thoughts. When the word itself was made manifest, which that's great. But remember, the seventh is the finish. Could this be the third pole? It's all over. Could it be? Think of it. Think of it now. Just think where you're at. Seven is always the finish. Three poles. Jesus' ministry consisted of three poles. Did you notice that? Be sincere. If you ever was in your life now for a minute, a few minutes. First pole was healing of the sick. Second, he became a very popular man. Everybody believed him, seemed like. Is that right? When he went forth healing the sick, everybody wanted him in their church. But one day he turned around and started prophesying, for he was the Word and he was the prophet that Moses spoke of. And when he went to tell them and telling them how that they was living and the things that they were doing, he became very unpopular. That was the second pull. I wonder if it has typed right back again. Just think a minute. Could it be the first healing and everybody, the second? Oh, it could be Jesus only. It could be Beelzebub. It could be that's the same thing they did there. See, same spirit living in the same kind of people, condemned people that could never be saved because they were condemned before. All right, so it sounds very much like there's going to be at the very end. It's for us, but it's to them. It's condemnation to them. From souls in prison now, he says, Jesus' ministry when he was healing the sick was so wonderful. That young prophet of Galilee, why, he makes the blind to see. He's even raised the dead. He got three cases of it. He actually raised the dead. But one day he turned around and said, you generation of vipers, you make the outside of the platter clean, you appear to be holy, but the inside of you, you're nothing but a bunch of snakes. Oh, when that prophecy went forth condemning that organization that had changed. They turned against him. That's right. And finally they rejected him and they crucified him. But you can't kill the ministry. It lives on. You can't put the messenger to sleep, but you can put the message. You can put the messenger to sleep, but you can't put the message to sleep. That's right. He lived on. And notice when the third pull of his ministry come, the first was healing the sick, the second rebuking their organizations and prophesying what they had done, what they were, and what was coming, and what is, and what will come, and what was, and what is, and will come. That's what he done. That's what he done. Is that right? But his third pull was when he preached to the lost that couldn't be saved no more. They were down there where them big painted eyes was, preached to the souls in hell and did not accept mercy, but were eternally separated from the presence of God. Yet they had to recognize what he was because God made him there. Wonder if his ministry climbs out the same way in the last days. As it was, as the Father sent me, so I send you. The works that I do shall you do also. Lost, could never be saved. They had rejected mercy. That was his third pull. Now, is there any question? His first pull, he healed the sick. Is that right? His second ministry, he was prophesying. His third ministry was preaching to the eternal lost. The three mountains and so forth, the lost eternal. Noah's ministry, all ministries done the same. Noah preached. That is exactly right. He went into the ark. And when he went into the ark, there were 7 days that nothing happened. His testimony preached to the doomed. Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus referred to both of them as coming before the coming of the Son of Man. So shall it be in the days of Noah. So shall it be as it was in the days of Sodom. Referred to Noah. Noah had three pulls. And his third was to the lost after the door was shut. For God let him sit right there where nobody could enter or go out. Remember the marriage supper and the guy came in? He was thrown out? All right. They were inside. On the seventh mountain, the highest mountain, that's where he settled the ark. Mountain, see, right. Again, we see here, Brother Branham defines the ministry of the third pull, mercy for the elect, judgment to those who turn down the message of grace. Now remember, there's coming a time when he that's righteous shall be righteous still, he that's filthy shall be filthy still. So from his sermon, is your life worthy of the gospel? Brother Branham tells us, now did you notice? There was three pulls or three turns of it when they went out and called to them that were bidden to come. And they didn't do it. Notice they were. What's he talking about? He's talking about Matthew right now, 22, the story about how the wedding supper, they were called to the wedding supper. He said they were called to them that were bidden to come, and they didn't do it. So there went out a healing campaign, went out to get the blind and halt, and still there were room. So he went out and compelled the good, the bad, and indifferent that they should come in. Now, you read another parable. Of this, something on the order of Matthew 22, 1-10. If you'd like to read it later on, but I drew the subject from there, is your life worthy of the gospel? So let's just read Matthew 22, 1-10 to see these three poles that he's talking about in this parable. And always remember, Brother Bram taught us, all the New Testament speaks of this hour. In fact, from Shalom, he said, and all the New Testament speaks of this hour, Jesus Christ speaks of this hour. So who is it then? Some man? It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, manifesting, reflecting the light on the Word that He promised for this day. So, let's look at what Jesus speaks, because it says the New Testament speaks and Jesus speaks for this hour. All right, Matthew 22. And when Jesus answered and spake unto them, again by parables, and He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Now that sounds like this end time, right? Sounds like the end time prophecy, or the end time scenario, that the wedding, you know, the invisible union of the bride, and then we go to a wedding supper. All right. And He sent for His servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Now notice He said they would not come, just like we see in Matthew 25. For 10 virgins are called to the wedding supper, but the foolish would not come. Oh, they came out to see what the midnight cry, which is the message, was all about. But they refused the parousia of the one who was outside knocking. So they didn't come to Him. They could not see the difference between the appearing and the coming. They could not see with their hearts that God's presence was there. And so because they looked past the appearing in favor of the coming of the physical vessel, they missed the groom, which is the Holy Spirit who is in our midst. And there's got to be a union between the groom, the Holy Spirit, and you. There's got to be a conception take place, bringing forth the life that was in the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, that's why we're typed as a bride. You see, people think of Jesus the man as the groom. Jesus the man is not the groom. The Holy Ghost is the groom. The Word. Again, He sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. Oh, that parousia nonsense is a false doctrine. I even heard one minister call it puke, because it couldn't pronounce parousia. And went their ways to the ones who were selling and making merchandise of the midnight cry. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Now, we could take, if I were to deviate right now, we'd go over to the Song of Solomon and show you this exact scene in the Song of Solomon. You know, she sees him from afar, you know, and then when she comes to know him, then she goes out. She's talking to all the church, and they persecute her. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, it's easy to preach the gospel. They don't want it. Oh, yeah. It's just, you know. Yeah, I'd love to be a preacher. I just love to be a preacher. Just have nothing to do but pray and read the Word and that. People don't know what they're talking about. You stand behind this pulpit, you're rejected right there. They don't want it. And Jesus foretells us what it is, what is to take place in this hour, that is true fivefold ministers. They'll be rejected because the Word is rejected. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. Notice, not a king, but the king. When he heard it, he became angry. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden are not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many, that's mission work. Now let's get the message out, go around the world, get it done, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. Oh yeah, we found them both. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He didn't come through the door, which is the Word. Many people don't want the Word. Well, I got the tape. Push play. I don't need to buy it. I'm sorry, you didn't come in the door either. The Greek word. It says, and he was speechless. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Now the Greek word there means they were muzzled. Muzzled. They were afraid to speak, afraid to preach. I wonder if that isn't those who heard the midnight cry but stepped away from preaching the message and resorted to pushing play. They were muzzled. Why? Fear. They couldn't speak in the presence of the king. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. I'd say 2 million to 2.5 million, that's many. Few, maybe 500, maybe 5,000, I don't know. God in simplicity, Brother Bram says, God in the beginning, that could have made the sun preach the gospel, or the winds preach the gospel, or an angel preach the gospel, but he ordained men for that purpose, and he never changes it. He never ordained denominations. He never ordained groups of men. He ordained men to preach the gospel, not machinery, not mechanical devices, or any angelic being. It was man. And when he brought deliverance to the people down there, he sent a simple human being. From behold, a greater than Solomon is here. God don't take an idol, he takes a man. And if a man will prostrate himself in the presence of God, God puts himself in the man, and the man becomes a living creature that God's living in. Not an idol, but a man. God never used idols. He always used man. God don't use machinery or mechanical devices. He uses men, individuals. Excuse me. I didn't mean to holler that loud. Notice, I'm not excited, though. I know right where I am. That's right. I just feel good. From the angel and his commission, he said, God always uses man for his work. Is that right? He don't use organizations and so forth and mechanical devices, but he uses men. The Holy Spirit fell upon men. That's God's instrument here on the earth. So we got a... I won't get into that right now. I think you know where I'm going with that, but please, just pray for those people. Notice in all these quotes, he says men, plural. Not a machine, not a mechanical device like a tape recorder. Men. Not to get off track, but we see the parable was showing us the third pole is always to the totally lost, but for the elect. And in a sermon, look away to Jesus, Brother Branham said. Now, I must continue in evangelism just as I was commissioned first. I must continue on. Therefore, you've had the word, and you know what to look for, how to stand. I must continue on in evangelism. And friend of mine, keep still and keep moving on. The hour is approaching swiftly, see, that when something is going to be done. Now, you might see little odd things happen from me. Nothing sinful. I don't mean that. But I mean something odd to what the regular trend, because what I have reached to now in the ministry. Yeah. Like, he didn't travel anymore. Did he? He's preached in his own home. I'm dropping back here, watching that spot and waiting for the time to use it. But it's going to be used. And everybody knows that for us, as certain as the first was identified, so the second was identified. And if you think real closely, you are spiritual, as the Bible said. Here's to him who has wisdom. The third is properly identified. See, we know where it is, so the third pole is here. And the historian Josephus said that not one Christian died in the Roman siege upon Jerusalem. And so in his next quote, Brother Branham mentions this. He says, from questions and answers, and according to history, there wasn't one of them that believed in Jesus and believed the word, but what was watching for that to happen. And they escaped and went from Jerusalem into Judea, and they fled for their lives, and not one of them, because they were warned by their shepherd and was watching for that hour to come. And when they heard Titus was coming, they took off, run for their lives, and got out of the city. So the main thing is to be ever watchful and observant what is going on and look to the Word for your answer on how to deal with it. The brothers asked me in Peru a few months back. They said, well, you know, we live in Lima, which is at sea level. If Brother Bram said the California flood was going to, the tidal wave was going to come before the coming of the Lord, what are we to do? I said, I would find a way to get out of the city and into the high ground as fast as you can. What about when they're inoculating and locking down the cities to bring on this new jab? The third one is going to have Ebola in it. Marburg.
Brother Bram said so. Zechariah 14 said so. You might have to leave the city. You might have to have a way to get out to where you can't be rounded up because you're out in the country. Now, before we read on, notice he was told his ministry was made up of three poles. The first one was identified, the outward sign in the hand. The second was identified, the thought of the heart, the prophesying of the thoughts of the heart being made known. And he said the third has been identified as well. Now, where I disagree with many in this message is that I do not believe the third pole has anything to do with the bride speaking the word and imparting life or creating anything. That was his ministry, but it is for us, in that it will be used for us, for our benefit, when it is used by him. Now, Brother Bram continues. He continues here, so let's just listen carefully to what he says. It is so sacred that I mustn't say much about it. As he told me in the beginning, he said, this say nothing of it. You remember that years ago, it speaks for itself, see? Now, I've tried to explain the others, and I made a mistake. This will be the one thing that, to my opinion, I don't say the Lord tells me this, but this will be the one thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away. See? Now, and I must lay quiet for just a little while now. And remember, and who's listening to this tape, you might see such a change in my ministry right away, dropping back, not going up, dropping back. We're right at the age now, and it can't go any further. We have to wait here just a minute until this happens over here to catch up. Then the time comes, but it's thoroughly identified. Now, he tells us what has to happen first in his next statement. There's coming a time upon in this nation to where this nation is going to exercise all the power that the beast had before, which was pagan Rome, when it became papal Rome. So he's saying, we must lay aside, I've got to lay aside and wait for this thing to come on. Now he's telling us what thing has to come on. And that's for the United States to basically become the Revelation chapter 13 beast, which speaks like the devil. Alright? There's coming a time upon this nation to where this nation is, see that's future tense, to where this nation is going to exercise all the power that the beast had before, which was pagan Rome, when it became papal Rome. And this nation will do that. Revelation 13 plainly explains it. The Lamb came up out of the earth. The other beast came up out of the water, thickness and multitudes of people. This Lamb came up where there was no people. A Lamb represents religion, the Lamb of God. And remember, it spoke like a Lamb. It was a Lamb. And then after a while, it received power and spoke like a dragon. And remember, Judas was an apostle. He went forth healing the sick, did all the things the other apostles did. But there come a time when Satan came on to him. Jesus said, the man that I give this sop to, and then you know, will betray me. And then, it says, after he took the sop, then Satan entered into him. So when did Satan enter into this nation? All right? And the dragon is Rome always, so don't you see Roman denomination, a marked Protestant denomination, an image unto the beast, making a power that will force all Protestants, like a union. You'll have to be in this council of churches or you won't be able to have fellowship or it's practically that way now. You can't go to a church and preach unless you have a fellowship card or some identification.
What identification is he talking about?
He said you won't be able to preach or even have fellowship unless you have this card or this fellowship. Now, could it be? Because he said this is going to happen. It didn't happen yet. It's going to happen. A fellowship card is a card that allows you to fellowship. Or some identification, he said. So I asked the question, could that be the vaccine passport? You have to have it to attend church. Have we already seen this scene taking place? Is it later than we think? It is. Many, many countries, brother, sister, you can't go to church. They don't have religious exemptions in Australia or in Canada or in England. By the way, pray for Sister Nisha. She has till the 3rd of February. They mentioned the 1st of they'll all be fired by the 1st of April, but they're going to start checking to see if they have it by the 3rd of February. So she's not going to take it. So she's willing to walk away from a lifelong desire of being a doctor. She's been a doctor for 5 years. They spend a lot of money on her education, and they're wanting to throw it away because
She doesn't have the jab. Of course, you get the jab, you're going to die. You know, some people say 90% will die in 2 years. Others say 75% will die in 3 years. So 2 years, 3 years, what's the difference? 1 year? These are experts too. I mean, world-renowned scientists are saying these things. Noah says that we're waiting for this to happen, and he says it is for the USA to take on its role in Revelation 13 and speak for the dragon, which is Rome. You know, they're meeting over there in Rome now, as you know. It's a secret meeting. Oh, what's going on? So it won't be Rome speaking, but the image of the beast, which is the USA politics, that is pushing all the countries into this germ warfare submission. Whatever the CDC says and the NIH says and the WHO, which used to be funded by the USA until Trump and then Gates, Foundation became its greatest funder, and I think under Biden, the USA is back to funding it again. But again, we go back to Brother Branham, what he said in Jezebel Religion, right over here in Middletown. He said they can't get it done through religion. So they must turn to politics, and there they will get it done. And when they do that, they will bring on the boycott and the mark of the beast. And we've seen that exactly happen. We're living in that day, brother and sister. Again, from Jezebel Religion, I'm going to read the quote. Then one day after sin had taken its toll and God has brought his people to their knees, Jezebel, that's Rome, took everything. She wiped it all up and she'll do it again. That's thus saith God's Holy Bible. She'll do it again. She's right on the throne now. Behind the forehead, figurehead, twisting it any way that she wants to, and nobody is going to stop her. Trump tried, and they put him down. Certainly nobody's going to stop her now, because what they couldn't get in the religious circles, they cut it all into politics. And there they done it. Uh-huh. That's exactly what they done. Which the political will be a boycott, just exactly back to the mark of the beast, as sure as I'm standing here. See, and the Bible said it. When did the boycotts begin? When Trump was still in office. So there was nothing he could do to stop it. He said, I don't think you should be locking the people down and locking the churches down and stuff. The governor said, well, we don't care what you think. They did it anyway. And of course, the Bible said in Revelation 13. Notice he says, that is what we're waiting on to happen before the third pole will be used in its full power. And we're there, my friends. So the only thing we need to be looking for is the resurrection so our prophet and his third pole may become manifested in its full power. And remember, it's not the prophet, it's God. But he's using that prophet. And it's not you and me using the third pole, it's his third pole. You and I have not even a first or second pole, so how are we going to have a third pole? It's his ministry, his third pole, not ours. But it will be used for us, and I'll be happy to have it that way. Now, paragraph 20. Now, look away to Jesus, Brother Brown says, and now, on persons like ourselves, we're going to be cut out of that altogether. That's exactly because they won't be able to do it. It's tightening. And then when that time comes, and the press comes to the place to where you're pressed out, see, press or squeeze, and then watch. What I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes, watch the third pole then. It'll be so absolutely to the totally lost, but it will be for the bride and the church. Now, we're closer than it seems to be. I don't know when, but it's real, real close. I may be building a platform for someone else to step on. I may be taken before that time. I don't know. And that time may be this coming week that the Holy Spirit will come with and bring Jesus Christ. He may come this week. He may come yet tonight. I don't know when he will come. He doesn't tell us that, but I do believe that we are so close that I would never die with old age. Yet at 54 years old, I'd never die with old age until he's here. See, unless I'm shot or killed or something or other, some way killed, just old age wouldn't kill me until he's come. And I believe that, and I want to say this. I have never said it before, but according to Scripture, according to what he said 30 years ago, 33 years ago on the river, down there, 33 rather, what he said, everything has happened just exactly. I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. For as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, So is the message to forerun the second coming. And John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." See, so it paralleled it in every way, and I know it will. The message will go on. Now, brother, Jesus Christ, the Word, has manifested to us. The Son of Man has appeared. And remember, there is an appearing before the coming. And we've already witnessed the appearing of the Lord, which is the parousia of Christ. And of the 84 signs and events which constitute that appearing, that Jesus told us, Paul told us, Peter told us, John and James told us, 79 have already taken place. If you're aware, you've seen them. You're aware of them. But if you're like most people, just, you know, still slumbering, awake thou that slumbereth, awake thou that sleepeth, and Christ shall give thee life. So it's later than we think. From his sermon, Souls in Prison Now, Brother Brown said, "Tape people." That's you that's listening to this tape. "I wish you could look at this congregation at this time. I hope you're feeling the same way." What if it is? Look at the scripture pile in here. Could it be? Is the third pole to preach to the eternal doomed that's rejected the message of salvation? Why, you say the church is going? Yeah, they will go. They'll go right on just the same. But remember, all this time, Noah was in the ark. The bride is sealed in with Christ. The last member has been redeemed. Sixth seal has produced itself. The seventh seal brings him back to earth. The Lamb come and took the book out of the right hand of him and sat down and claimed what he owned, what he had redeemed. That's right. It's always been that third pole. Now, he asks a question to the tape people. He says, those listening to the tapes. Is the preaching on those tapes going to be to the totally lost? Remember, those tapes will keep going right on after the bride is gone in a rapture. And many people that have confidence in just listening to the tapes and are unaware of what's going on, have their heads buried, they'll still be hearing that word. And that word will be preaching to the totally lost. Now remember, Matthew 25, the foolish virgin listened to the midnight cry. They heard the invitation, "Come out of her, my people," that came out of their denominational system along with the bride. But when they went out to meet the bridegroom, they were looking for the wrong thing. They were not taught to get their eyes off the vessel. And so they missed the groom, who is the Word, who was standing there knocking. And so they looked for a vessel and did not see the appearing was before the coming. And so they missed the invisible parousia of Christ and went to seek the oil in order to see the visible coming of the bridegroom. But he's the Word. And they were looking for a vessel and they missed the invitation because they did not understand it or they just didn't believe it. The invitation was, "Behold," which means look and see, come look and see, he is here. Come out to meet him. And instead of looking for the Word, which they would have known to look for if they had really heard and recognized what the prophet was talking about, but they rejected the unveiling of God, they rejected the mighty God revealed, they rejected the hidden Christ, they rejected the invisible union, and they rejected Christ revealed in his own Word, and so the king became their rejected king by them who went to those who were selling. And those are all titles of Brother Graham's sermons. They looked for the physical body, and therefore, because they looked for the vessel, they did not see nor understand who was in their midst, which was the mighty God unveiled. The unveiling of God. Because God is spirit, and he is here just as real as he was when he was in the body of his son Jesus. But they missed it and went to them that sell and rejected the invisible union. And so they were left to the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, which is tribulation period. Now, from his audio letter to Levale, Brother Branham said, "And so when I was sitting there, all at once a voice began to speak to me. He said, 'Well, where do you think your visions come from?'" See? Were they included by the atonement? See? And I began to answer back, not thinking, and all at once I kind of come to myself that I was talking to somebody there in the woods. And there was nobody around me, and I thought, what was that? And then just a few minutes, I thought, well, I'm not sure. I'm not beside myself. In a few minutes, here it was again talking to me. He said, "You have been given power for this." See, and Lee, you don't have to put this, but it was leading up to the third pole, you see. So you know what I mean. But so It said, you've been given power of this. This is bringing the third pole. And I said, well, there's no sick people here. See? Because remember in the vision, he saw people being changed in their bodies. Well, I don't see any sick people out here. He's in the woods. See? And so he said, but you're hunting and you're in need of squirrels. He said, just say where they'll be and which way they'll come and they'll be there. So I thought, my, and I studied a little bit. So the third pole was more than just praying for people, having an altar call. Because he saw people coming into the room, crippled and everything else, and they walked out completely whole, completely young, completely healed. And the angel told him, we're going to get to this, but the angel said, he showed him the room, and he said, and this is the third pole. Now, this story tells here, pertains to when he was told to speak the squirrels into existence. He wasn't asking God for them, but God just told him to do it. So in this next quote, we get another indicator of when the third pole will be used. He says, when the hour of persecution begins. From his sermon, Shalom, Brother Branham says, and we all know that the identification, we know what the third pole is. We all understand that. Now, you'll have the tape, you see, and it's, now I think it'll just lay dormant for a little while until the great hour of persecution comes. That's when it'll speak, it'll be manifested, just like the five straight signs without failure, perfectly. Now, I think getting a jab forced on you is persecution. So how close are we? And from his sermon, Shalom, Brother Branham lets us know that the third pole will come after John 14:12, for it will be the greater works that follows the works of John 14:12. It'll be the greater works that Jesus speaks of in John 14:12. He says, then one time he said about the third pole, how it would come by this one way. Then by knowing the heart, and then the spoken word, Jesus said, greater things than this will you do, for I go to my Father, John 14, the works that I do shall you do also, greater than this, for I go to my Father. Just as I said ago, when Mary tried to identify him as Joseph's son, he corrected her. His words cannot fail. He said so. Heaven and earth will fail, but my words will not. When we hear the symphony beating, changing, fixing to change, is junction time. We notice as he began to beat and we seen, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater shall you do greater. He promised it. We wondered how it could be. And Brother Graham tells us, and I didn't put the quote in here, I should. I'll try to find it and insert it later. But he said that when the speaking of things was the greater works, he said, creating, you know, he said, sure, greater means more than it does. But he also said, but Jesus just spoke to a tree, it withered. He took fish that were already there, and they multiplied. But he said, this was greater. This was speaking something into existence that wasn't there. Now, here it is very plain that Brother Branham is referring to the third pole, to the greater works. Some would have you to believe that that is a sign of Messiah, is the greater works, but the greater works was creating by the spoken word the squirrels, and by the spoken word the life coming back into the fish, just like Jesus' third pole was by the spoken word calling Lazarus from the grave, having been dead for 4 days and corruption having already set in. Therefore, outside of the seals being revealed, which he said was by the third pole, and the sword, which represented the word, showing us a symbol for the spoken word, besides those symbols, we see there were three outright manifestations of the third pole given to us. Number one, the most famous, is the three squirrels spoken into existence. Number two, the dead fish resurrected and given life. And number three, Hattie Wright's boys given life. Notice that all three things involve the spoken word, and all three things that they have in common is upon the spoken word there was an imparting of life to each of them. Now, he also spoke to us about the tent ministry and the little box where the angel said, watch the resurrection in there. So let's just examine that next. So, first of all, to this point, we have seen the what it is. It's the word, spoken word. We've seen what it does. It brings life. We've seen when it'll come. He says, when the persecution, the squeeze, all these things are upon us. All right. Now we're going to see where. Now, we've already looked at the timing, the signs or indicators for the season that it will be used. And we know the third pole will come into its full effect at that time. He said when the council of churches begins to tighten, and the time when the squeeze is in full force, and the time when the persecution begins, and also at the time when the USA takes over doing the dirty work of Rome. As he pointed out, the beast of Revelation 13 will execute the plan for Revelation, beast of Revelation 17. So this further confirms the quote from Jezebel Religion, where Brother Bram said, it will move from the religion to politics, and then it will get done, and the boycott and the mark of the beast. Now, in the seventh seal, Brother Bram tells us the place where the third pole will be manifested in its fullness. We've already looked at the what it is and the when it will be, and now we're going to look at the where it will take place. So don't miss it. Be there. The seventh seal. And just then he picked me up, and he took me up and set me way up high to where a meeting was going on. Looked like a tent or a cathedral or some sort. And I looked, and there was a little box-like, little place over in the side. And I seen that light was talking to somebody above me. And that light that you see there on the picture, it whirled away from me like that and went over to the tent and said, I'll meet you in there. And said, this will be the third pole and you won't tell it to nobody. And in Sabina Canyon, he said, this is the third pole. And there's three great things that goes with it. One unfolded today, or yesterday. One unfolded today. And there's one thing that I cannot interpret because it's in an unknown language. But I was standing right there and looked right straight at it, and this is the third pole coming up. And the Holy Spirit of God, oh my, that's the reason all heaven was silent. And we can also read from his sermon why people are so tossed about, where he said, then he taken me from there, and I seen a great huge tent, and I never seen such a tent. Now remember, in his days, tents were like the old-fashioned circus tent, straight up the side, and then the sloping of the roof, where there were poles in the middle, and it kind of hung down like that. But the tents today look more like a cathedral. They're rounded. And they're rounded around the edges, you see, because they're blown up with air. And so everything is pushed out, not sloping in. All right? They have huge compressors and rounded the corners, the roof bulging out, not in like the old tents, but made from the same kind of material. And I saw that tent in detail back in 2011 in a dream I described to Brother Billy Paul, and he got very excited when I mentioned it to him. Now, Brother Bram continues, and it was packed and lined everywhere with people, and I walked out to the looked like I was standing above the people looking down, where I just made an altar call, and hundreds of people were weeping and rejoicing after they had accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And I looked and heard a man get up and say, call the prayer line. And people begin to line up over on this side and the left from where I was looking down towards the platform. And they line all the way up and down the street for prayer for a prayer line. And I noticed to my left, which would have been to my right as I was on the platform, a little wooden building. And I seen the light that they have the picture of, you know, that's always in the meeting. I seen that light leave me and go to that building. And go in that building, and a voice said to me, I'll meet you in there, that'll be the third pole. I said, why? He said, well, it won't be a public show like they had it. And I came too. So my brother, we have a lot to look forward to. But just remember, this is his third pole of his ministry, not ours. But it will be for us, who are the bride of Christ. So do not try to rush God, but just be patient and wait until all the factors fall into place, which we can see them shaping up now. So be patient and pray that you will be a partaker of that when the resurrection meetings begin. Because I believe in the next few months, we're getting close to the end of the year, so I believe sometime March, April, we're going to be seeing the resurrection. Now you say, well, no man said you can see, you know, no man would know the day or the hour. That's right, I never said the day or the hour. But there's a season. And we are moving from the shout, brother, sister. We are moving into the time of resurrection. And we will be seeing it in the next several months, I believe, with all my heart. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, you've been leading us, Lord. Your pillar fire has been with us. We've seen it in the rainbows, Father, showing us that you're still leading us to the millennium. You're still here. You're still leading. We are sons of God. We're being led by your Spirit. You're showing us things, Lord, that are happening all around us, and we identify them now by thy word. We now identify the timing
We identify what it is. We know what the third pole is. It's the Word bringing life, bringing bodies back to young again, like Adam or like Abraham, Sarah. And Father, we know when it will be, when the United States has stepped into its role in Revelation 13, becomes the voice for Rome. And we see all the evil things being done now through the CDC, the NIAH, our government. And Lord, now, the where is at the time of the resurrection in that little room, and we're looking with great anticipation for it. In Jesus Christ's name, help us all to be there, is my prayer. God bless you. And just take the name of Jesus with you. Take the name of Jesus with you.